Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 27. In this chapter, we have instructions for a covenant renewal ceremony that was to take place in the central part of the land after the conquest. Included in this covenant renewal were blessings if the people were obedient and followed the Lord, and curses or judgments if the people were disobedient and turned away from the Lord. A number of the curses are included in the second half of this chapter. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be, on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Therefore it shall be, when you have crossed over the Jordan, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones, which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones or uncut stones the altar of the Lord your God, and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law." Then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, "Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God, and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, "These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 27, with some background notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, Moses gave the children of Israel directions for two different rituals or ceremonies that they were responsible to carry out when they entered the land of promise. There was the ritual associated with the annual Feast of First Fruits, and there was the ritual of the extra tithe every third year for the poor and needy throughout the land. These instructions for these two required rituals concluded Moses' second sermon or address to the children of Israel who were gathered together on the staging area of the plains of Moab, ready to cross over the Jordan River and possess the Promised Land. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 27, we have the instructions of a covenant renewal ceremony that was to be carried out by the children of Israel after the conquest. And that brings us to our doctrine or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 27. Doctrine point number one: the importance of the Mosaic Covenant was emphasized by covenant renewal. The importance of the Mosaic Covenant was emphasized by covenant renewal. The instructions given in the verses that we just read concerning the covenant renewal ceremony were first given back in chapter 11 as part of the second address by Moses to the people. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning with verse 29. "Now it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today." From Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 28 through 32. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 27, further instructions are given for this covenant renewal or covenant ratification ceremony that was to take place when they entered the land of promise. At the end of chapter 26, we saw that the children of Israel pledged themselves to obey the Lord and keep the statutes and commandments and ordinances of the Mosaic Covenant. This was on the plains of Moab at the end of Moses' second major address to the people. Now, that oath of allegiance was really like a first covenant renewal before they crossed the Jordan River. Now, here in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28, we have instructions for a second covenant renewal, which will take place after the children of Israel cross the Jordan River and begin to possess the land of promise and blessing. The city of Shechem was situated between two mountains, namely Ebal and Gerizim, in the central part of the land in the area where Nablus is located today. This is where the Lord appeared to Abraham when Abraham came into the land, and it was here that Abraham built an altar to the Lord. See Genesis chapter 12 in this connection. Shechem is also the area where Jacob's well was located, where our Lord met the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4. Water can still be drawn from that same well today. The covenant renewal ceremony in which the Mosaic covenant would be ratified in the land was to take place as follows. After their initial conquest of the land, the children of Israel were to build an altar to the Lord on Mount Ebal, which was on the mountain north of Shechem. The altar was to be of uncut stones in accordance with the law and was not to be like the pagan altars of cut stone. Furthermore, in addition to the altar, large lime-covered stones were to be set up on Mount Ebal with the law inscribed on these stones. Now, we can't be sure how much of the Mosaic covenant was included on these stones, but probably it was at least the blessings and cursings of the law that we have here in chapters 27 and 28 of Deuteronomy. After the stones and altar were in place, and sacrifices and peace offerings were made, then the covenant was ratified by half of the tribes of Israel going up on the slopes of Mount Gerizim, or the Mountain of Blessing, and the other half of the tribes of Israel going up on the slopes of Mount Ebal, where the curses of the law would be reiterated. The Levitical priests would then stand with the Ark of the Covenant in the valley between the mountains to conduct the ceremony in which the blessings of the law would be voiced by the tribes on Mount Gerizim, and the curses of the law would be stated by the tribes on Mount Ebal. Let's read about how the children of Israel carried out these instructions when they came into the land after the initial stage of the conquest was over. I'm reading from Joshua chapter 8, beginning with verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, over which no man had wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. From Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 35. So we see the importance that God placed on ratifying the Mosaic covenant, which was between himself and his people. The importance of the Mosaic covenant was emphasized by covenant renewal. Doctrinal point number two. The importance of the Mosaic covenant was emphasized by covenant curses. The importance of the Mosaic covenant was emphasized by covenant curses. Verses 14 through 26. And the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say, Amen. These verses contain the first section of curses, most of which are quite specific. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we have a second set of curses, which is more general. 8 of the 12 curses listed here in Deuteronomy chapter 27 involve violations of the Ten Commandments. And it may be that these specific curses were chosen because they concern sins that could be committed in secret. The 12th curse in verse 26 is more of a summary and is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, in the context of the impossibility of the law bringing salvation to anyone because no one can keep the law. I'm reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, and now comes the quote from Deuteronomy chapter 27, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The fact that the stones containing the written law were set up on Mount Ebal and not on Mount Gerizim, the mountain of blessing, emphasizes the fact that everyone is under the curse of the Mosaic Covenant and the fact that there is no salvation for sinners in the Mosaic Covenant. The importance of the Mosaic Covenant was emphasized by covenant curses. Now, what about practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 27? Praise the Lord that there were two groups of stones on Mount Ebal. Praise the Lord that there were two groups of stones on Mount Ebal. A careful reading of this chapter clearly shows that there were two sets of stones set up on Mount Ebal. There were the lime-covered stones containing the written law grouped together, and there were the uncut stones of the altar. Aren't you glad for this second group of stones, namely the altar? It clearly pictures salvation from the curse of the law. Only because the Lord went to the altar of the cross of Calvary and died as a sacrifice for our sins can we be saved from the curse of the law. The fact that the stones were uncut and not shaped or adorned in any way by human effort emphasizes the truth that salvation from the curse of the law is not by human works or the addition of human works in any way. I'm so glad that there were not just the stones containing the law on Mount Ebal, but there were the uncut stones of the altar as well. Praise the Lord that there were two groups of stones on Mount Ebal.